Please turn to Exodus chapter 20 for our scripture reading today. Exodus 20 and verse 12. And then we're going to turn and read the New Testament report of this commandment, which is found in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. So first we'll read Ephesians 20:12. The title of this message, The Fifth Commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now turn to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, where the Apostle Paul reports this commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Modern society has little concern for this fifth of God's Ten Commandments. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3, Paul says that two of the characteristics of these last days will be, number one, disobedience to parents, and number two, without natural affection. Let's turn to that because it's such an important passage about these days in which we live. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. Now we will not read the entire passage here, but you'll get the flavor of what needs to be said. Anyway, as we read this portion of it, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Proverbs 30 and verse 11 surely speaks of the present generation. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The first four commandments have to do with our responsibilities to God. The second six have to do with our responsibilities to our fellow men. This fifth commandment is what someone has called a bridge commandment, in that it links the two tables of the law. It links those responsibilities to God with those with man. And we'll see a little bit more fully about that statement in just a moment. This commandment is placed at the head of all of our duties to our fellow men. All authority in the family, in society, and in government goes back to and is dependent upon obedience to this commandment. All authority is based here on this commandment. This commandment establishes government. It establishes government in the home and in the nation as well. This fifth commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy 5:16 in the second giving of God's law. Now, the word Deuteronomy means second law or the second giving of the law. It's also repeated, as we have seen, by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament in Ephesians 6:2, which is part of our text. In the message this morning, we shall consider three important points in connection with this commandment. First, we shall consider the meaning of honor. The meaning of honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. What does this word honor mean? What does a person do when he honors his parents? First of all, to honor one's parents means to have reverence and respect for those parents. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Honor includes having reverence and respect for one's parents. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, or God, and live? When one has this reverence and respect for his parents, he does not act with undue familiarity towards those parents. It is a violation of this commandment to call one's father by his first name, or to refer to him as my old man, or to his mother, my old lady. I remember in early years in school, it was quite the thing for the boys to talk about, my old lady won't let me do that. I'm talking about their mothers. Irreverent, disrespectful, breaking this commandment. Talking back to one's parent when told to do something shows a lack of reverence and respect for that parent. Thus, it violates this law. Such honor also involves listening to and following the instructions of one's parents. One who honors his parents listens to, is receptive of, and he follows the instructions of his parents. Look at Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 22. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. Brother, if you got something tied around your neck, you're going to remember it. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You know, some children think they know a lot more than their parents know. Have you ever been around children like that? No, none of us has ever been that way, have we? A lot of children think they know a lot more than their parents know. Young people, let me tell you something. Your fathers have heard a lot more sermons than you have. And they have experienced a lot more difficulties, and they have learned a lot more than you have. I never can think of this subject without thinking about what Mark Twain said. Mark Twain said, when I was a freshman in college, my father was an ignorant man. But by the end of my sophomore year, he had learned quite a bit. You have to appreciate his sarcasm, but he hit the nail right on the head, didn't he? One can also disobey this commandment by just the look on his face without his speaking a word. Look at Proverbs 30 and verse 17. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. The point here is that we can break this commandment by just the look on our face without speaking a word. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, let's think about this for a moment. A child may mind his father. He may do what his father says, and yet mock while doing so. I remember my father saying to me on occasion, you get busy and get that look off your face. That's what the scripture's talking about here. We're talking about reverence and respect for parents. Turn to Proverbs 15 and verse 20. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Only a fool would despise his mother. Only a fool. We are commanded by God to reverence and respect our fathers and our mothers. Now, this honor for our parents should also include our praising our parents for what they do for us. Or we might say our appreciation for our parents for what they do for us. Turn to Proverbs 31 and verse 28. Proverbs 31 and verse 28 tells us this. The subject here is a godly woman. Proverbs 31, 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. You know, that's why we have Mother's Day. So that the children can rise up and call Mother blessed. And praise her. Let me just say that a boy who honors his mother will most likely honor his wife down the road when he gets married. And if a girl does not respect her father, she will not likely respect her husband. This honor for one's parents also involves obedience to those parents. Doing what they say. One who honors his parents submits to their commands. When parents tell their children to do something, those children honor those parents by obeying them. Paul makes this clear in our text in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Turn back to that if you don't have it marked there. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, and we'll read it again. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. Solomon says here, in Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, you know, every once in a while somebody comes up with a question. Maybe it's a legitimate question. It could be, according to what your attitude is in asking it. But every once in a while somebody says, all right, what if my dad tells me to do something that I know is wrong? What's the answer to that? Are children obligated to obey when their parents command them to do something that's wrong? I submit to you from God's word that children are not obligated to obey the wicked commands of their parents. Now, here's an example. If a parent tells his child to steal something, you know, I hear about that every once in a while. Some mother will take three or four of her kids into a store and tell them, you pick up everything you've got and put it in this bag and we're getting out of here. Teaching them to shoplift, to steal. If a parent tells his child to steal something, that child is not obligated to obey that. Because to do so would be to disobey God. Thou shalt not steal, God says. Paul clarifies this when he says in our text, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord means in everything that is right according to the Lord, children are to obey their parents. Children also honor their parents by giving them financial, physical, and emotional support in their old age. Now, you know, this doesn't get mentioned very often today, but this is a very important part of this commandment. A child honors, you know, you never quit being a child of your parents, even if you're 75 or 80 years old and they're 100 years old. You never quit being a child of your parents. And so a child honors his parents by giving him financial, physical and emotional support in their old age. You know, one of the most important things for old folks is emotional support by their children. Emotional support. 1 Timothy 5:4 instructs children of widows to requite those widows. That is, give them the needed emotional and financial support. Turn to 1 Timothy 5:4. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now, to requite means to give back, to meet those emotional and physical and financial needs. Now turn to Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Again, we're still talking about providing needed financial, physical, and emotional support for aged parents. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Now, these then are things involved in honoring one's parents. But why should children honor their parents? And I would just say, first of all, because God says so. That's enough. But I'm going to give you six reasons more than that. Why? Actually, that's the first reason. Because it is a solemn command of God that we do so. Honor thy father and thy mother. A child's first duty is to God, but his second is to honor his parents. His duty to his father and mother is greater than to anyone else in this world. Second, why should children honor their parents? Because parents deserve honor for what they do for their children. Listen to me, young people, teenagers, children. Think what your parents do for you. Think about that. I don't know if I ever thought of that when I was a young person. Your parents brought you into this world. I haven't checked lately, but when our last child was born, it cost us $30,000 to bring her into the world, and we didn't have insurance. It's probably twice that much by now or more. Think about that. Your parents did that for you. Not only that, that's not even to mention the physical suffering and stress and everything involved in bringing you into this world. They also feed you and clothe you and educate you and train you and discipline you and protect you and sacrifice for you. You know, that's just accepted, and we rarely think about what our parents have sacrificed for us, to raise us. Thirdly, children should obey their parents or honor their parents because this is well-pleasing to God when children honor their parents. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You want to be well-pleasing to God? Obey your parents. Honor your parents. Why should children honor their parents? Fourthly, because this brings joy to one's parents. That's one of the most gratifying things in life, when our children honor us. Fifth, why should children honor their parents? Because this is the first commandment with promise. And we'll have more to say about that in a little bit later. And sixthly, children should honor their parents because this is how a child learns to properly relate to all authority. You know, these thugs and hippies and misfits that are out there demonstrating in the streets today, I know what kind of homes they came from. They didn't learn authority at home. A person's ability to submit to authority is learned at home based on God's fifth commandment. Parents stand in the place of God to their children in those children's early years. Everything a child knows about God, he learns from his father in those early years. A child cannot honor his father in heaven who does not honor his parents on earth. Honoring one's parents teaches a child to honor God. Honoring parents naturally results in reverence and respect for God and for all proper authority. Now, if you have the right attitude and relationship toward your father, you're going to have the right attitude and relationship toward all authority. That's where authority is learned. When there is no respect for parents, there is no respect for law. Honoring one's parents promotes the right attitude toward human government. Today, the public schools teach children to question and doubt and even rebel against their parents' authority. Parents may better expect their children to honor them like this if they are worthy of such honor. Now, they ought to honor parents whether they're worthy or not, but it's a lot easier for the children when the parents are worthy of that honor. How can parents be worthy of such honor from their children? First of all, by insisting on their parental authority. Parents can be worthy of this honor by insisting on their parental authority. Someone must have the authority in the home. And God has given it to the parents, especially the father. Children will not just naturally honor their parents. You know, there's a lot of people that believe if you just let children alone and don't try to force your beliefs on them, they'll come out right. They'll do right. Not so. They will not just naturally honor their parents. They have to be taught to do so. Parents must demand respect from their children. Listen, parents, don't let your children talk back to you. That is a deeply serious matter. Don't let your children talk back to you. Demanding respect includes meting out proper discipline to one's children. You know, there's a lot of people think they know better than God's Word. God's Word tells us we are to discipline our children. Look at Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. And I'll tell you, there are lots of people today that wish this passage was not in the Scriptures. But it is, and you cannot remove it. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I'm not going to make any comment on that. Let the word stand for what it says. The worst thing a parent can do for his child is just to let him grow up in his own way. Let him grow up and do his own thing. Go his own way. David's son, Adonijah, led a revolution against his father. Think about that. He tried to take his father's kingdom away from him. God said in 1 Kings 1:6 that this rebellion was because David had failed to discipline Adonijah. Listen to 1 Kings 1:6. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? He never called him into question about any of his conduct. Second, parents can be worthy of honor from their children by bringing those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4 says, to parents, concerning their children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Timothy's mother instructed him in the Scriptures starting when he was a child. In 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. I hope you have daily devotions at home. That's the opportunity to talk with the children about spiritual things. Bringing them up like this involves praying for your children, praying that God will save them and that He will preserve them from the wickedness of this world. It does a child good to hear his mother or his father pray for his salvation. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. Parents should pray in front of their children for the salvation of those children. Parents, you gave your children their sinful nature. Did you know that? You gave it to them. They inherited it from you. You, therefore, should seek their salvation and their sanctification. You gave them that sinful nature. You ought to seek their salvation and their sanctification. Thirdly, parents can be worthy of honor from their children by living lives that are worthy of respect. Set your children a good example. Teach them by a holy example. I've seen a lot of deacons' kids go wrong through the years, and some preachers' kids. You know what I found in as I was able to look into their home lives and or just by listening to them? Many times those deacons and their wives would go home on Sunday, and at lunch they would criticize the preacher for all the crazy things that he did. And see, they were not living good examples. They were hypocrites. They would say, oh, preacher, how you doing today? And then they'd cut him up with a knife at lunch. Well, the second thing that I shall point out in connection with this fifth commandment is some biblical examples of obedience and disobedience to this commandment. I'm pleasantly surprised by all of the biblical examples that can be found here. From these examples, it is hoped that we can learn how to better obey this commandment. First, there is the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. And this is a rich mine of material about honoring one's parents. Joseph, what a great example of obedience to this commandment. Turn to Genesis 46:29. Genesis 46:29 tells how Joseph reverenced and respected his father. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. He went to see his aged father. And he fell on his neck, or he embraced him and wept a good while. In his father Jacob's old age, Joseph brought him to Egypt and took care of him physically. Look at Genesis 47:12. Chapter 47 and verse 12. Here, Joseph provided food for his elderly father. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. I'm going to tell you in a moment about a woman that didn't have enough to eat. Very important that children provide food for their aged parents when they get where they're not able to provide for themselves. King Solomon honored. He had reverence and respect for his mother. Turn to 1 Kings 2:19. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. This tells how when Solomon's mother came into Solomon's throne room, Solomon stood up. Boy, kids don't do that for their parents anymore, do they? He stood up. He called for a chair to be brought for her, and he seated her in that chair at his right hand, which was the place of honor. Look at 1 Kings 2:19. Bathsheba, that was his mother, therefore, went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. He honored her publicly, reverenced and respected her. The greatest example in this, as in all things, however, is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Twice, our Lord's obedience to this command is brought out in Scripture. First of all, at the temple, when he was 12 years old. Now think about this, you kids, you children, 12 years old. The Lord Jesus got involved in a theological conversation. I tell you, I'd like to have been there. I bet you I wouldn't even know which end was up about what he was talking about. And these men marveled about him and about his knowledge. He talked with these elders, and they were amazed at his knowledge of spiritual things. And the Lord at this time, 12 years old, he knew who he was. He created his parents. Think about that. He knew all things. But when his parents found him there in the temple, Luke 2:51 says that he went home with them and he submitted himself to them. That's amazing. Turn to Luke 2:51. Luke 2:51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now, the other time that the Scriptures bring out the Lord's obedience to this commandment was at the cross. While he hung there, suffering and dying, he made sure. Now, think of this. He had all the sins of all the elect of all the ages laid upon him, and he was suffering the equivalent of eternal hell for every one of those people. And yet he thought of his mother. And he made sure that his mother would be taken care of financially, physically, and emotionally after he was gone. Look at John 19, 26 and 27 here. John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. You see what he was doing there? He was taking care of her financially, emotionally, and physically. Now, the last biblical example here is one of disobedience to this commandment. This commandment requires that children provide for their aged parents financially. And yet the scribes and Pharisees in New Testament times came up with a means of avoiding this responsibility. They found out a way to get out of giving financial aid to their parents. They called it Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. Corban means that with reference to any part of one's property, all he has to do is just say, this is devoted to God, and therefore it could not be used to support his aged parents. Now, that was a religious tradition of the scribes and Pharisees. And then, of course, they would often later renege on this pledge and use the property for themselves. Now, the Lord Jesus condemned this wicked practice in Mark 7, 10 through 13. Let's read that. Mark 7, 10 through 13. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught or anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So the Lord condemned them for this, and he said that they made the commandment of God void by this tradition. Corban does not honor one's father and mother. It leaves them instead to suffer and to starve. Turn to Proverbs 28:24. Proverbs 28 and verse 24. This scripture relates to Corban when it speaks of robbing father and mother. Proverbs 28:24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. And if we don't provide for our parents, we rob them. 1 Timothy 5:8 also relates to Corban, or just plain neglect of father and mother. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Years ago, Lindy and I knew an old lady whose name was Ruby Cooper. Ruby suffered from dementia. Pretty bad case. But she lived alone in a house with little or no insulation. She heated her house by turning on the burners of her kitchen range at night, leaving them on all night. Her water lines leaked so badly that she had to turn the water off at the meter whenever she used it. She slept on four mattresses stacked on top of each other, and she had no sheets. Her house was filthy. The only food she had was one meal a day, brought to her by the local senior citizen organization. One meal a day. Now, here's the application. Her daughter rarely visited her. That daughter, to make it worse, was married to a pastor. When Ruby died, they bulldozed her house. They just came in there and wiped it off. What a heartbreaking tragedy. But I'm convinced that that, to some degree, goes on all around us. Thirdly, let us look very quickly at the promise attached to this commandment. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Of all the commandments, this is the first one with a promise attached. God makes a promise to those who will honor their parents. And that promise is long life in this world. Obedience to this commandment is life-preserving. We can count on God's promise because God's sacred honor is involved in His promises. But disobedience to this commandment will shorten one's life. Rebellious children often come to tragic and disgraceful ends. Absalom's rebellion against his father David caused his life to be cut short. 2 Samuel 18:9 says that rebellious Absalom. You know, he had a hippie haircut. He was riding along on a mule, and his head and his hair got caught in a branch. It was hanging down. He was hanging there between heaven and earth from that limb. And then 2 Samuel 18:13 says that Joab came along, and he thrust Absalom through with a dart and finished him off. Absalom died young. In conclusion, how serious is the breaking of this commandment? In Old Testament Israel, God saw this sin as so serious that he said a rebellious son was to be stoned to death. In Exodus 21:15, God called for the death penalty just for striking one's parents. You know, I never could conceive of a child that would strike his parents, but they do. God called for the death penalty for that. Verse 17 of that same 21st chapter called for the death penalty for cursing one's parents. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. The death penalty shows how awful it is to dishonor and disobey and disrespect one's parents. Now, all of us have broken this commandment. All of us are guilty before God today. 1 John 3:4 says that sin is the transgression of the law. Dishonoring one's parents transgresses God's law. Thus, it is sin. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And death here means more than just dying at the end of life. It means eternal hell. And so, hell lies ahead after death for those who break this commandment. My friends, I would not leave you there this morning. Good news. Jesus Christ has kept this and all of God's law perfectly. He has also suffered the penalty for breaking that law. He did this in behalf of sinners. And His perfect law-keeping and penalty-taking will be credited to your account when you trust in Him. Won't you trust in Jesus Christ today? He will forgive your sin and save you if you will. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for our parents and for this safeguard of a commandment that You have placed on our relationship to our parents. We pray today that You would convict us all of our sin and failure in this area, and we pray that You would show sinners the Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can be forgiven of this and all sin by trusting in Him, His doing, and His dying in our behalf. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for His sake. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816-761-7184. email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.